You're listening to the City Lights Podcast. City Lights is a church located in Greenville, South Carolina, devoted to building family, blessing neighbors, and bringing good news to the nations. Thanks for joining us.
2017 in the Bain House was a big year. And I'm going to tell you why. So in January 28th, 2017, I got married. About February, I can't remember the exact day, February 11th, 13th, we find out we're pregnant. November 4th, 2017, my sweet baby girl, Nora Lily, is born. Busy year, 2017, y'all. It was a tired year. And honestly, even into 2018, I look back at pictures and sometimes I tell my wife, I was like, I don't even remember this. Like we were just in a fog, just a sleepy fog. And however, when I look back on that year, I do remember, it was my firstborn. I remember my daughter being born. And to me, it was such a sweet, wonderful experience. It was a beautiful thing to see her being born, to see Emily be such a strong and honestly bold, courageous woman in that moment and be giving birth to our daughter. It was beautiful. I remember holding Nora. I remember like how sweet it was. I just cried the whole time. And it was wonderful. For my wife, she had a little bit of a different experience in that she went through a 20-hour labor. And she went through a 20-hour labor. She had back pain. You guys know anything about the back labor is what it's called? So she has this pain in her back the whole time. And she was a trooper, y'all. She killed it. I mean, seriously, that's the day that Emily became my hero. But she had a tough time. I mean, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I remember there was a specific moment, and it was something that they called the transition. Some of y'all may know about this, but it's when you're about to get into pushing mode, you know, but you're just not there. But something happens, I don't know how or why, but you just feel defeated. And I remember my wife was in this tub, you know, and it was so sad, y'all. She would, like, fall asleep. She was so exhausted. And she'd wake up to a contraction. And I was like, oh, it was so scary. And she'd fall back asleep. And I remember at one point she looked at me, and she was exhausted and sweaty and so tired, and she just said, I just don't know if I can do this. In the back of my head, I said, baby, I don't know if we can either. It was awful, man. It was just so tiresome, you know? And but I remember in that moment, I remembered our midwife, because, you know, she said to us, like, there's going to be this moment where you're going to start to doubt if you can actually do this. And that's the moment where you're the closest than you've ever been. Kid you not, hour and a half later, Nora was there. We were holding her. And she, like I said, Emily killed him. After that, I never looked at her the same. I was like, you're just, I don't worship you, but gracious, you're a hero. You killed it. Her whole birthing process with Nora was, it was long, it was hard. At times, like I said, it was discouraging. But with every contraction, she knew that she was closer and closer to meeting our baby girl. And I'm going to tell you guys, as soon as we set eyes on Nora, every moment was worth it. All of it. And then we had a second one. We had Malika. Here we are in 2022, and we live, because we're not going to talk about, by the way, I'm not going to talk about making and having babies all morning, so don't get uncomfortable. But it very much is in the passage that we just read. In 2022, we're living in birth pains. There's a whole creation, a whole reality of creation that we have not yet seen that is yearning, that is groaning for a new birth. Oliver talked about last week, but you remember with Nicodemus, he's asking Jesus, and Jesus tells him, you have to be born again. Our creation has to be born again. And what's interesting about the passage that we're going to read today is that not only is creation growing, and I don't mean like the world, like, you know, the not in the world, of the world. I mean the physical creation. I'm talking the grass, the trees, the mountains. I just watched Dunkirk recently. Have you guys seen that movie? War movie. Every time I watch a war movie, this is so silly. But you know, like there's bombs going off and stuff's blowing up. I get so sad because I'm like, creation's getting obliterated. You know, and I think about that with this passage. Like creation is enduring suffering just as we are. You think about pollution. You think about war. Creation is going through it just like we are. And it's groaning for something new. And so in a way, as we read this passage this morning, I want us to have that in our minds that we aren't the only ones who suffer. And I mean that as the church, because the worldly suffering is a little different. We all go through the same suffering, but the church sees it differently, right? Or at least we should. And so going back to Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. So we know that creation's groaning, that it's longing for this new birth. And that new birth for us as the church and for creation is that we're yearning for something new. You remember in Genesis 2 that when God is he's finished making everything he's created, Adam and Eve. The next mandate is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to cultivate the earth. It was supposed to be this order of us creating and cultivating together. But after the fall, we have only seen the opposite. I mean, don't get me wrong, an iPhone is pretty cool. The fact that we made the iPhone is pretty impressive. But pollution's a big deal, right? That's kind of sad, you know? And like I said, when you think about war and like we throw bombs at each other and we shoot guns at each other and we're destroying lives over and over again and we're destroying the earth that we walk upon. It's sad to think about. Or at least it should be. And if it's not, I had to check myself this week and go, man, does this really like break my heart? You know? The earth itself, get ourselves out of the picture. The earth itself is suffering and groaning and crying out with us. It's a sad thing to think about. But creation also knows what's coming. Creation's yearning for that new thing, not some made-up new thing, but the intent of what Genesis 2 was always meant to be. See, the creation wants to be cultivated and wants to be created. Creation wants you and I to take our position as sons and daughters and to cultivate and create, right? And that's what it's looking towards, because the earth, as some of you know, is under bondage. We just read in the passage. And that's why I asked earlier, do you think the world's getting better or is it getting worse? The world's not bad. The earth isn't bad. The earth is under bondage. Oliver talked about last week that as we were in our sin and in our trespasses, we were in a prison. And Jesus liberated us. So also is the creation under bondage because of our mistakes, right? But they're yearning for something new. We're yearning for something new. In a world of suffering, the church finds glory in its suffering. So how do we do that? We're joining with creation, right? So if you look outside, if you turn on the news, I remember this past week, Tanglewood Middle School, right? There is a lot of suffering, y'all. Again, get out of the lens of your own life right now and just look around the world. The conflict in the Ukraine, Tanglewood Middle School. I mean, honestly, I don't know if there's any good news in the news anymore, right? It's just a lot of people suffering and a lot of people hurting. So creation is in pain. Creation's suffering and groaning. We are suffering and groaning. The world is. And then let's talk about the church. Let's talk about us and our own lives. Let's get practical for a second, right? How many of you have lost someone in your family? Let's get a little deeper. How many of you have suffered abuse in your family? Because here's the difference between suffering a consequence of your sin and suffering, just general suffering, is it's something that you didn't ask for, right? My wife lost her dad a couple years ago. Didn't ask for that. Don't feel like I deserve that, right? It's the pain that we didn't ask for. How many of you have gone through that? How many of you are going through that? How many of you, let's take it a little step further. Talking about birth is uncomfortable. Talking about babies is uncomfortable. It's painful. And it should be, right? We all suffer, and suffering is real. I'll take it to a millennial standpoint. Suffering sucks. I'll say it in church. My youth pastor would be disappointed. But the difference between our suffering and the world's suffering is that as the church, we don't have this, like, I hope it gets better, right? We have a hope and an assurance in a future. And what we're going to get into here in a moment, and this is really interesting, is when it talks about glory. Glory is not, just for a second, I'm going to tie it in. Glory is not sparkly gold clouds in the room, okay? Glory is bearing the image of Jesus. And what Paul is arguing, he says, I've considered my own suffering, and I would argue that my suffering, our suffering right now at the present, cannot be compared to the glory to be revealed in the suffering. That's the difference, is that as a believer, part of the church with the hope of the gospel, we don't just suffer for no reason. Because Jesus didn't suffer for no reason, right? We suffered with him. As he was crucified, we were crucified. And now as he rose, we rise with him. And in his resurrection, what the end of Romans 8 says is that we are unconquerable by our suffering. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer, but it means that you have a way through your suffering in his resurrection. Our suffering is not a sign of regression. It's a sign of progression, okay? And that's what I'm saying. Every time that you suffer, and again, this isn't about negating your suffering or saying get over your suffering. It means to hurt in your suffering and to cry in your suffering and be angry and frustrated in your suffering, but to do it with him. Because he's going to shape you and form you and bear his image in you as you suffer with him. Does that make sense? All on the same page. Okay, let's get back into the passage. All right, Romans 8. I'm going to go backwards just to give a little bit of context. I don't mean read backwards. That'd be pretty crazy. We're going to start in verse 16, and then we're going to move up to what we're reading today. But just to give a little bit of context for where we are as believers this morning, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. This is what Oliver talked about last week. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Okay, so when Jesus died on the cross and then rose again, he became glorified into his purpose. The whole reason he came was glorified. It came into a physical manifestation, all right? And so what he's saying is if we are heirs with Christ, when we suffer with Christ, and we suffer like him, and our suffering will glorify us. It will make us more like him. Okay? All right, verse 18. For I consider, this is Paul's personal consideration, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory bearing his image that is to be revealed to us. For the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. Futility is just frustration. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. In hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation wants to come out of its slavery to corruption and wants to be brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Us, you and I, bearing the image of Jesus, will free creation. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only that, but also we ourselves. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, through perseverance we wait eagerly for it. See, this is the difference between the birth of my daughter and the new birth of creation. See, I don't know if there's probably a lot of parents in here. When my daughter was born, I held her, and I literally felt like I would sneeze and I'm gonna drop this baby. Like, it's just like I would barely walk around with Nora. I just would sit on the couch and just squeeze her tight and just don't do anything crazy. There's a fragility to babies, right? Because yes, you've made it past giving birth to a baby, but there's a myriad of other things that could happen. Sicknesses and diseases and ailments and disabilities, and don't even get me started. I'm not trying to put fear on anybody in this room, but first-time parents, everybody knows that you get stressed out, yeah? Because you don't know the future. I think about to this day, what is my son's a little gorilla, man. Like, he just loves destroying things. It's his favorite thing to do. My poor wife's got this plant on our table, and it's got a little, you know, what are those things called? The ones that don't need a lot of water? Doesn't matter. He, like, rips them out, and he throws them. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, it's just what he loves to do. And I think, what's he going to be like one day? Like, who is he going to be? Like a UFC fighter? Like, what's going to happen? Is he going to live past 20? I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, we don't have that assurance, you know, because we live in a world under bondage. And we live in a world under bondage, right? A world of suffering. But here's the difference. The new creation birth is an assurance of what's to come. And that becomes our hope. I don't know what's going to happen to my son. But I know what the end result is of his whole life. It's Jesus. I know the ending of this movie, and it's Jesus, right? That's the hope. We hope in the empty tomb, because the thing is, like, if Jesus hadn't have risen, he'd still be dead. And so would we be, right? We'd be forgiven, but we wouldn't be alive. The sin would be covered, but we wouldn't be alive in a new life, right? But as Durrell says so well, he rose, though, okay? Like, the devil thought he had him, but he rose. That's the truth. He rose. And if he rose, we now carry his victory in our lives through the suffering, not instead of it, right? In the suffering, through the suffering, we have victory because of the empty tomb. And that's the hope that we hold on to. And that's what makes us, what makes Jesus, and makes our lives and our suffering, us in our suffering, unconquerable. So when Paul says that nothing can conquer us, that's what he's talking about. This situation you're in right now is not going to destroy you. That's the truth. That's not a pad preachy answer. That is the gospel truth. This suffering today will not destroy you. And if you'll let it, it'll make you more like Jesus. Right? All right. Through this hope, though it's not yet seen, we already know the end. It's the glory of Christ in us and through us, right? So I'm going to show my age. I just turned 28 this past week. I'm a little boy, young. I do have a beard, though, so that's nice. So you guys remember 2019, it's December. You MCU fans are going to get real excited. Avengers Endgame came out. It's the last Avengers movie. Some of you guys are going to check out. That's cool. I'm a guy, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and my wife is the budgeter of the family, okay? So when she says, I can't go see a movie, I can't go see a movie, because I'm sorry. And you guys, I mean, it's like $15 to get a ticket. So y'all single people, though, I see you, you know, you just keep going, keep doing it. Enjoy it while you can. I really want to go see Avengers. I'd seen all the movies. I was really excited and couldn't see it opening night. I'm an introvert, too. I don't want to go out to busy movie theaters. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, 3 weeks, guys. It's been 3 weeks. The whole internet is keeping everybody accountable. It's like, don't spoil the movie. Don't spoil the movie. Don't spoil. We'll send the CIA after you if you spoil the movie. And like, I'm like, great, you know, trying to stay on social media, staying off of YouTube, blah, blah, blah. I find myself 3 weeks after the movie's come out. It's only been 3 weeks, y'all. I'm on the Apple News app. Anybody use the Apple News app? No, you don't, because who uses that app? Me. I open the app, and this is the same time Game of Thrones, I think the last season to come out. There's a tombstone and a tombstone. Stark, Stark. And I'm just like, so Tony Stark, spoiler alert, 3 years later, if you haven't seen it, that's on you, Tony Stark dies at the end of Avengers Endgame. I didn't need to know that. So now when I go see the movie, I'm barely enjoying it. I'm just sitting through 3 hours. I'm like, well, when's it going to happen? Every time he comes on screen, I'm like, is he going to die yet? 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 Is this it? Is he going to get hit by a car? No, he's not. When's he going to die? It was awful. It was the worst. But that's what I'm trying to get you guys to understand. Like, when you sit through a movie that you already know the ending to, the movie doesn't surprise you anymore, you know? You still kind of enjoy it, right? But you're like, yeah, but I know where we're headed, okay? I know where this is going. In the same way, like, I want you to envision, it's a silly analogy, but it's a serious subject, that I don't want us to get caught up in our suffering, you know? And what I mean by that, so just hold on, I'm not saying, like, get over it. No one's saying get over it. Bless you. No one's saying get over your suffering. I said it before, feel your pain. Go through your hardship. Mourn, lament, be angry, be frustrated. But if we know the ending of the movie, what does the middle of the movie even mean, right? What does this journey even mean, right? We're not alone. We haven't been abandoned. Jesus is walking with us. His spirit is in us, groaning with us. So, and we know the end of the movie, right? It's just Jesus and us fully realizing our glory in him. And your suffering, a vapor in the wind. Don't get over it. Like, I just want to make sure everybody hears me. Nobody's saying get over it. But I'm saying have it in the back of your mind. This is temporary. And look to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you want to do? Jesus, what are you saying? Because I'm going to tell you what he's not going to say, get over it. Because I have the victory. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to say, because I have the victory, let's go through it together. Can you imagine if he hadn't arisen, what would that mean for us? To not have the Holy Spirit in us, to walk with us. Pretty sad. Lonely, scary, isolating. But we're not. We're not alone. Knowing the outcome brings excitement, it brings comfort, and it brings confidence. So I want you guys to think about that for 2 seconds. Just ask yourself this question. Will we choose our current suffering or future glory to define our days? This isn't about streets of gold and mansions and stuff. Oliver said it's not about throwing football with your dad in heaven. A big, big yard. It's about this intimate union with Jesus. So think about that and then discern, am I going to choose what the world has given me in its bondage and let that define who I am and what I'm doing? Or am I going to let my future in Christ define it? Do you guys think the outcome would be different? Would your perspective be different? All right. Verse 26. Now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How many of you have mourned so hard that you didn't have words? I have. I've cried so hard that I didn't have words for it. I've been so sad. You know, we give toddlers a hard time. And we tell them that they should be a certain way, right? That you shouldn't be acting like that. You shouldn't be doing that. These poor little guys, their brain is like this big. And I'm being serious. Like, their emotional capital in their brain to discern words to tell you I'm frustrated. Do you know how hard that is? I hear plenty of groanings too deep for words at home. And I have to stop and go, like, they're feeling it. And we're grown adults, y'all, and we do the same thing, right? Because it's deep and the pain is real. It's not fake and made up. Whether it's Sissy took my toy or a death in the family, that was unexpected. The pain is real. And that's what he's saying. That's our weakness. And it's okay because the Spirit's there to intercede for us on our behalf. It's okay to be weak because he's going to intercede. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we don't, as we suffer, we don't have to suffer and think like, am I suffering right? Am I suffering right? Am I suffering right? The Spirit's doing that for you, to the will of God, for you. You just have to remember that he's there and that he's with you and you're not suffering alone. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. So like I said before, the world isn't bad, it's in bondage, right? You can look outside, you can listen to the radio, turn on the news, you're going to see the fallenness of this world, and you're going to say that this is just, you know, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket, right? Like, but I would argue that the earth itself, creation itself, it's been longing, groaning for redemption since Genesis 3. Creation itself isn't going to hell in a handbasket. It's headed toward image bearing through the resurrection of Jesus. The earth longs to be ruled by the redeemed sons and daughters of God. I asked you guys at the beginning, is the world getting better? Is it getting worse? In a way, I kind of set you up poorly because I'm going to make a separate argument here. It's the wrong question to ask. I heard a guy on a podcast one time. He was talking about if Genesis can be trusted as an accurate portrayal of how everything came to be. And he said, trying to compare Genesis to a science textbook is like taking an iPhone and asking the Bible to prove that it exists. It's just the wrong question. See, for us to look at the world, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Better? Worse? It gets political, you know what I mean? Like, some people think like hell in a handbasket. Some people, we're just getting better and better and better. It's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. Wrong question. Instead of better or worse, we should be saying and declaring and reminding ourselves that it's for better or worse that Jesus has committed to us. It's not about saying, is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Doesn't matter. Jesus is walking with you. And that's the best, right? Just think about that for a second. Man, I ask that question all the time. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, the world is getting better. And then something crazy happens. I'm like, hey, it's getting worse. Because that's not it. It's not about better or worse. It's that Jesus is committed to us and to glorifying his bride, sanctifying and glorifying us through the better, through the worse. Okay? We want our kingdom come. He wants his kingdom because it's the master plan. It's far better. So when it says, like, all things work together, we always stop with all things work together for those who love God. I love God. I lift my hands in worship. I love Jesus. I'm here. But who are called according to his purpose. So I'm not saying some aren't called. The bottom line is, as a church, we are all called. And whether we work or not, or try or not, his purpose is going to be fulfilled in us and through us. Okay? So, again, just a reminder. So, if we're in our suffering, if we're in our pain, if we're in our everyday lives, whatever it may look like for you, there is a greater cosmic, universal purpose that is unfurling in you and through you. Through the suffering, through the pain, through the hardship. And so Paul's trying to remind you, all things will work out for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So what do I need to worry about? It's loving God. Just be in a relationship with Jesus every day. Walk with the Spirit in your life. Everything's going to work out. Maybe not how you want it to, but definitely how he wants to. And he's kind and he's good, right? He has to be better. He has to be sweeter. He has to be brighter than what I'm going through. Or else what are we doing? Seriously, why are we in this room? Why are we sitting here? If we don't believe that, that he's better, that he's sweeter, that he's kinder, what are we doing in here? We didn't call, oh yeah, this was something I wanted to touch on. So you guys ever like, my wife does this to me a lot. We'll get on the phone and she'll call me and I'll be like, hey, what's up? And we start talking about something, but then you get lost in conversation. And then she's like, what did you want to ask me? And I'm like, girl, I didn't call you. You called me. You know, like, it's just like, wait, what? She's got the kids running around everywhere. We didn't call the Lord. Okay? He called us. Sounds a little sassy. I'm going to get into it. This is what I'm saying about that. He called you. You didn't call him. He picked up the phone. You did it. If he called you according to his purpose, and if he died, and if he rose, all the onus and the responsibility of the purpose finding its fulfillment in the new creation being birthed is on him. Okay? All he's asking from you is that you would just suffer and walk with him. Oliver says all the time, get on the bus. Just jump on the bus. And keep it, like, if you're sitting in your suffering and your pain right now and you're thinking, like, Lord, what is this all about? What are you doing? Why? He called you. You didn't call him. So just leave it on the table and let him figure it out. Right? We always ask that question, why God? Why God? Why? But he called you. You didn't call him. Okay? Does that make sense? So make sure my illustration landed. And just a last little reflective question before we keep going in the passage. Do you believe that he is working all of your stuff for good and glory? Do you believe that? Even now, just think about it. Do you believe that he's actually working everything out? And if you don't believe that, then this is a good time for conviction and repentance, right? Are you in pain right now? Are you in hardship right now? And do you think that he's not working it out? Because it's not about it being right or wrong that you're doing that. It's about how are you going to continue into glory moving forward? Are you going to sit and wallow in your suffering and your hardship and just spin and spin and spin and spin and spin? So I'm going to tell you right now, he doesn't want that for you. So do you actually believe he's working all things? He's working through your loss. He's working through your sin. And he's working through your suffering, all for your good in the kingdom of heaven. And that is a truth and a hope that we can put on today. All right. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul's saying, it's just my opinion, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can we take away? Our suffering shouldn't be a surprise, it's a guarantee. But through our suffering, he's made us conquerors. Because he has dominion and authority over every created thing. And that's why no created thing will conquer you. Because he's eternal, he's forever. His kingdom is eternal and forever. And his spirit in you is the same. And now in his resurrection, you are eternal, you are forever. I'm gonna keep highlighting Oliver because he's my buddy. He said it so well. You died 2,000 years ago. And you stand in new life today. A son and daughter of God. If, like I said before, if he just died, then we're dead, but he's alive, and so are we. One last funny story before we close out here. I'm in a small group. It's half the church. It's Luke Steffensmeyer's small group. And it's a great group, guys. The Steffensmeyers are great hosts, great cooks, and they're fun. We have a great time in that group. We had kind of just started going to the group, maybe like a month and a half, 2 months in. And it was our turn to provide a meal. And I'm a big Zuppa Toscana fan. Anybody? Zuppa Toscana? Nope. And I was like, I'm going to make some soup. It's going to be great. I made this big old pot of soup, full. Put the lid on it. We're heading to the car. Got two kids. Everything's crazy when you got two kids. So I'm like carrying my soup out to the car. Had my new Birkenstocks on, you know, I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling real good. I put my soup on the car. Guys, I put the soup on the car because I was carrying something else, too. I can't remember what it was, but, you know, I'm trying to, like, open the door, and I just felt like Kevin from The Office with the chili. You know what I mean? I just was like, guys, I opened the door, and it just, and it like, spilled into the car. It was like it went into the car and on the ground and on my Birkenstocks. Like, I just, and I'm standing there, and I could just feel my wife was about to come out. I felt it in the supernatural realm, you know? I just was like, she's coming. And I just was like, babe, you know? And she walks up and she's just like, you know, like, what are you doing? I thought I was getting feedback. It was a whole mess, y'all. And the car smelled like Zuppa Toscana for like 3 weeks. My Birkenstocks were all jacked up. I felt like crying, to be honest with you. So we brought Domino's pizza to small group. You know what I mean? Like, just brought in the sausage and pepperoni, and we're like, sorry, guys. And I think about that story a lot because, like, that's just our life, you know? Our life is a spilled thing of Zuppa Toscana. Like, it's not even about just, like, really hard suffering. It's just life, man. Like, when gas prices go up, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you know, you go to the grocery store, something used to be $1.79. Now it's $3.89. You're like, what happened? A loaf of bread, you know? And it's just, that's our lives. And the sin we get ourselves into and the family drama and the dysfunction that we have with our parents or our siblings, like, it's a whole mess. Like a spilled bowl of Zuppa Toscana. But something that Emily always says to our kids when they spill something, my daughter's notorious for spilling smoothie all the time. Like, it's just every time. She always says we can make more. We can always make more. Spill something. We can always buy more. And I just feel that that's what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. That we can make a mess of our lives. But man, he is going to glorify us. And we can mess it up all we want. Doesn't give us permission to purposely mess it up. But if you do, man, he's covered it. He's got you. Isn't that good? I mean, that's a deep sigh for me. Like, good, man. He'll make more Zuppa. Your mess in your life, it isn't a diagnostic of his fulfillment in you. I'm going to say that again. Your mess in your life right now, your suffering, your pain, your drama, whatever it is not a diagnostic, a litmus test for what he's doing in your life. Okay? If you're not into the Bible every day, if you're not praying every day, if you got drama at home, you got, you know, whatever, the suffering, the pain, how you react to things, the spouse fights, the stuff at work, that is not a diagnostic of his work in you. Okay? He's using it and working through it. We can partner with him and just join in, and it's a lot easier and a lot more restful. And we will find a smoother transition through that suffering, through that pain. So I have these three questions up here. I've got a couple questions, but first, again, I want to ask a question, have you think about it. If he started this with you, if he called you, and you didn't call him, but he called you, won't he finish what he started? Do you think and believe that? That he started a work in you, and he will see it to completion through the end of the journey. Is there any promise unfulfilled that you find in Scripture that's in your life? Is there any promise he's made that he did not keep? Is there any moment that he left you alone? Is there any word that he said that's come back void? Think about it. Seriously. I don't mean it just churchy. Like, seriously think about it. Has he ever let you down? Not you and your stuff. Didn't get the iPhone I wanted. Not that kind of stuff. But has he ever actually let you down? I can say for me, he hasn't. And I've been through a lot of stuff. He's never let me down. We all have. We're all currently suffering pain in this life. And the pain is going to hurt. The pain is going to be intense. Some of you, maybe you've had a life up until now that's been easier, nicer, lighter. Some point, the pain's going to come. I didn't feel real pain until I was 25 years old. And it hits you like a ton of bricks, right? It's going to come. Can't disagree with that. But his promise in our suffering is that it cannot be compared to bearing his image. That as we come on the other side of the suffering, that we look more like him. And then when the next suffering comes, I'm ready for it. A little bit more, right? Because I'm a little more like him. So personal question. These are intentional questions, I guess you could say. You can go ahead and have the Taylor and the band come in. Just pointing at Taylor. You can just. So the personal question is, how can I wait eagerly and not bitterly? I can get real bitter in traffic, you know? Like, that's my weak spot. That's where, like, my faith is tested the most. But that's a real thing as we're waiting. You know, we have to wait, and that's what the creation's doing. It's waiting in the midst of suffering. How can we do it eagerly, awaiting what's to come and not bitterly? Man, this sucks. I hate this. This is the worst. But looking at what's to come. I told you guys when I held Nora, it made, for Emily and for me too, like it made everything worth it. You know, I held Nora and I was like, wow, everything's worth it. Because I knew that we had done, not only had we done it together, but I knew that the hard work paid off, you know. And there's going to be a day where we're going to stand before Jesus and all of this suffering is going to pay off. Seriously, again, not just about gold streets and mansions, like it's all going to pay off. So how can I groan with the Spirit and not apart from him? Something I didn't touch on, I'm going to touch on it real fast, is that when it says the Spirit is groaning with you or within you, it means that he's not only groaning and sad as you're sad, but he's praying for you and with you. So when you're hurting, he's hurting. Guys, Jesus brought a man up out of the grave. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He brought him up, but before he did that, he wept with his family. Because he's weeping in the same way that he does now. By his Spirit is. And he's saying, yeah, I'm so sad that this didn't turn out how I wanted it to. So just remember that. Like, he's groaning with you. So how can, in your groaning, in your pain and suffering, how can you do it with Jesus? How can you do it with the Spirit, not apart from it? Because he's with you and he's for you. And he's in you. I want to put a lyric up here. There's a John Mark McMillan song. I just thought of it the other day, and it's just such a good line. He says, I don't have answers for heartaches or cancers, but a Savior who suffers them with me. And gosh, that's the reality. Like, Jesus is suffering with us. He's suffering alongside you. And that's why he lived the life he lived, so he would know exactly what it feels like. To feel pain, to feel loss, to see sadness, to see heartache, to see injustice, not be able to do anything about it, right? So let's groan with him. Our answer to suffering is always and always will be Jesus and his conquerable Spirit within us. So the last question is, how can I conquer my suffering instead of being conquered by it? It's okay to be sad, and it's okay to cry, and it's okay to mourn. It's right. There's a whole book called Lamentations in the Bible. It's just a whole lot of crying. I'm serious. It really is. It's heartbreaking. So it's okay to do that stuff. Just do it with him. And remember that everything you go through is not going to kill you. Seriously. Eternally, it's not going to kill you. It's only going to make you more like Jesus.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have been encouraged or challenged by this message, please give us feedback by leaving a comment on this podcast. For more information on our church, visit us at www.citylights.cc.